Vaya mi gente, you're now tuned in to the Capicu Show on Urban Latino Radio.
Despierte maestra, que lo que vamos a dar es toía. Ando con la usadora de la madre patria, ¿sabes?
Ole.
El filósofo y la mala Rodríguez. Y nos vamos por encima.
Dímelo, Dimingo.
Vámonos por encima pa' que aprendan algo más y más.
Chicatán y Chuencatán necesitan más que patada.
Vámonos por encima pa' que aprendan algo
más. ¿Es it Friday?
¡Capicú!
Mira,
¿qué pasa, mi gente?
What's going on, mi gente?
I don't like you. I have to start the show the same way every week. You know that. I can't not, so.
But you have to justify why you don't like me. And it appears like it's something new every week.
If I did that, we'd be here for like a month.
Okay, can I talk?
No.
All right. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight's episode of the Capicu Show. As you know, we broadcast live Friday nights on Urban Latino Radio. You can now also download our free podcast on our show site, radiocapicu.podomatic.com. You can also email us here for topic ideas, feedback, or anything at radiocapicu@gmail.com. And while you're at it, you might as well follow me on Twitter, Urban Jibaro.
Was that a self-plug? Hold on. Of course. I don't know about all that. I could plug myself now.
Of course. You could bin plug yourself.
Well, it's your girl, La Sensación del Bloque, Jomaira, here on Urban Latino Radio, Radio Capicu. Excuse me, first of all, I was talking, no? Oh my gosh, okay? I just want to say hi to all mi gente out there, everyone tuning in for the first time. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have a great show ready for you all tonight. What are you pointing at? Anyway.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep.
Oh, what? You said something with your
mother? Oh, man. This is your boy, El Jodón, José El Jodón. We got a very interesting and I think very important show tonight. But before we get to that, I wanted to pass it to you. I was going to pass it to you, man. Don't make that face.
Anyway, tonight our show is dealing with a very serious topic. Tonight the Capicu Show wants to publicly denounce violence against the LGBT community. We will definitely have a discussion with an amazing panel of guests that see this issue from different perspectives. But before we get into the topic, how was your week, Jomaira?
Well, another serious thing I have to say, I finally laid to rest my T-Mobile sidekick.
Ay, Dios mío.
It was a tough moment in my life for me. And I'm getting a little emotional. 8 years, you know, of struggle, of sweat, tears with T-Mobile, and I had to let them go. I had to go to the dark side. Okay, moment done. Thank you.
and she will pay for that.
I was going to sit here and give you your moment. I wasn't going to step on you or say anything.
I'm going with because they're not paying me.
All right.
So
the dark side. You know who
there you
the
go.
Dark side.
You know, I saw something really interesting in the news this week, and I thought it was kind of interesting just because, you know, I was all into like wanting to go into law enforcement when I was a kid and all that. Did you hear about the young girl in Mexico? The 20-year-old that took over as the chief of police down there.
And she's still in school.
And she's
like
unarmed.
A sophomore.
And she's unarmed. She no gun.
What's her GPA?
I have no clue, man, but I'm just saying.
She qualified
like,
to be
I'll tell you the truth, like, I wouldn't do that. I don't know about all that. Unarmed and then being with the chief. And then not for nothing, they keep finding cops turning up dead throughout the town and within the surrounding towns.
I mean, you know, one of the things that I saw some commentary, and one of the blogs that I read actually they said that it's one of two things. Either she's very naive and she really thinks she could change the world. God bless her for thinking that, but we already know how that's going to end. Or she actually works with the cartels and that was just her way of getting in.
Interesting.
So that's the, and you know what? And I never even thought, for 1 second, I never thought that would be an angle. But now that they actually mentioned it, it's like it's possible, you know?
Now you think about it, it could be an inside man or woman.
It could be.
I don't know.
I mean, I just really hope that she's not going in it with that puro corazón, you know, really wanting to help people and whatever, and end up paying with it for her life because she doesn't have life experience to know what how serious that job is. I mean, nobody wants the job. There's a reason why nobody in the country wants the job.
I tell you the truth, I wouldn't want the job. No, they couldn't pay me enough.
And listen, you know what they should do? They should actually, whoever the cop is, they should be masked. They should have somebody who's a strong leader that could run the department, but because of the danger of the job, they should be able to be masked.
Now,
it'd be cool, like G.I. Joe, like Cobra.
Don't you think that's kind of going on right now? You don't think she's kind of just like the face?
It's possible.
I think, personally, I think it's more along the lines of she can just be the face and, you know, who's going to harm this young, innocent girl? I mean, well, let's not say that because, unfortunately, there are people out there that are capable of doing so. But just like any other figurehead or person in office, there's always people behind them. There's always a group of people that are helping them lead, you know. So it's not a one-woman show out there in Mexico right now. So, but those angles are interesting, especially the last one that you mentioned, Jose. So.
Especially when you look at like all the police corruption in general. I mean, we've had it here in New York, obviously. In Puerto Rico, they just arrested 130 police officers and FBI agents. I mean, you know, it's funny. Latin America always had that thing where it was just one government after another. It doesn't matter who's in power. There's always a system of corruption and ill gain and all kinds of nonsense like that.
So, are you trying to call us corrupt?
I'm just saying. Latin America has a history of having puppet governments.
Hey, I'll take it a step further. America has a history. Okay. Well, Latin, South, North, East, West, Central.
I mean, you know, if you really want to take it there, we could talk about the School of Americas and how America trained most of the puppet governments. And but we're not going to go there.
Yeah, yeah. That's a whole other show.
We might. Urban Latino might lose their whatever advertising. We have.
Like, wait, did you hear what he said? Pull the ads.
Pull the ads. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about a serious issue tonight. I mean, it's a different show. And just so you know, this topic actually came from the people. This is something that you asked for. And we, you know, we're more than happy to be your voice and to give you a forum to discuss it. I mean, what does it mean to you, Jemaida? Like, the concept of what we're talking about tonight.
Honestly, It was also a topic that I was very interested in, mostly because being a recent graduate of an undergraduate institution and seeing the hurt of a lot of my personal friends, that what they've gone through on a day-to-day basis, having to hide their identity because of the fear that they had and of what others would say and would do to them. And the hurt that they felt, it was just, it really, you know, seeing them hurt made me hurt. So that was on a personal level. And then also just on a general level, just the digression that our people have gone through, it's disheartening. And I think it's something that we need to talk about. People just put it off all the time. And it's something.
It's a very taboo subject in general.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I'm sure that somewhere out there, somebody's like, why are these guys doing this? You know, real talk. Yeah.
You know what? I probably know people that I know personally that are saying, why are they doing this?
I believe that because I don't like your friends. I'm just kidding.
Wait a second. She has friends? All right, you know.
Jose.
I'm just kidding.
No, but
I'm going to keep it because it's a real serious show tonight.
I told you last week I was proud of you.
Can you guys get along so we can talk about this?
Okay. He started, for the record.
No, but on the reels, One of the other things is that this is one of the only types of discrimination in the world that's almost acceptable in certain circles.
Yep.
And that's really sad because we've done everything to, you know, I mean, you know, sexism, racism, like, all these other isms have been annihilated or at least
addressed.
Are addressed to the point where you know it's unacceptable. And if you choose to do it, then you're the exception instead of the rule. Where in this case, you know, you have young people who are living a double life in many cases. Some kids, I know personally, young kids that are thugging it out just to survive in the community that they live in. And now we have an increase in violence specifically, you know, I mean, there's cases going on everywhere in the world, but for some reason, New York just seems to be really hot right now.
I mean, just for example, what happened a couple of weeks ago in the Bronx with the young man that was sodomized and his lover were both sodomized and brutally attacked by these people that he probably would have called his friends and his familia because of his sexual orientation.
Well,
his alleged sexual orientation, because they had thought that he was homosexual.
Yeah, the whole thing was that he was like, you know, supposed gang. He was like about to go into the gang or something, and they caught wind of, what?
I'm listening again.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm just saying that that's what the news says.
Everybody
just
knows where the studio is.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, like, that's what I heard in the news, all right? Don't say you heard it from me. But no, like, you know, they kind of turned it around and made it into, you know, I lost my trail of thought. See, George, you can't interrupt me.
Okay, just look at my visual cues.
No, but I'm saying that, you know, like, this kid was, you know, I guess hanging out with the wrong crowd or whatever. They caught wind of something that they're not even sure was true. And I think it was more than two individuals. It was three people, I think, that they tortured, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was three people, yeah. So it's upsetting, man. It's just crazy to think that people actually still think that way, you know? One of the conversations I had with Bamboo MC last week, actually, it wasn't with him. It was right before he showed up. It was someone in my office. We were talking about religion and how people use that as a platform to spread, you know, this kind of discourse and dialogue about, like, you know, it's not right for you to be gay. It's not right for you to be this. It's not right for you to, God says it's, you know, it's not right. Abortion's not right because God says so. And it's like, you know, where's the separation of church and state? You know, I hear a lot of politicians using this rhetoric of God this, God that. It's like, well, you know something? The principles of this country weren't even founded on what God told us to do. It's, you know, what we believe is right for the state and those who choose to believe in God and practice their religion, that's separate.
Exactly.
And I think that's been washed out over the last, you know, ever since the country was founded, I guess.
Well, I want to be clear. We're going to go to a few songs before we come back with our guests.
Just a few?
But I want to make it really, 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 really clear tonight. This is a Latino show. You know, we have a Latino themes. It's an urban show. You know, we're multicultural. We deal with a lot of different themes. But tonight is really about being human.
There you go.
And that's what, you know, when we say we're denouncing this kind of violence, we're saying that we choose to be human first, and we're going to discuss what it's supposed to be like to respect human life.
There you go.
So now forget about orientation, forget about religion, forget about where you come from or where you grew up at or what kind of money you have. This is about being human. So I hope that the people that are listening tonight can dig that vibe. And then we'll come back after a couple of songs. And I'm trying to think, what should we play tonight?
I don't know. What do you want to play?
Let's do some house merengue mix.
House merengue.
Keep it locked, mi gente. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Radio Capicu here on Urban Latino Radio.
This is Flaco Navaja, and you're listening to UrbanLatinoRadio.com.
Yeah, we're back. My name is George Torres, the Urban Jibaro, and I'm here with
La Sensación del Bloque, Jomaira, and
José el Jodón Arias. ¿Para qué?
What's up?
Deja estar jodiendo tanto.
Yo, big shout out to Flaco Navaja, who ripped it on Wednesday at LIU. We had a big Copy Cool showcase over at Long Island University CW Post with Bomba en Plena and the Machete Movement.
Thanks for inviting us.
I did invite you. But
don't say Facebook. Don't say Facebook. No, you have my number.
We talked about this last show.
Did
I have tape.
No.
He has live footage.
Listen,
footage. No. Don't say we. Thanks for inviting us. You're on your own.
Yeah, I was invited. Studying. How are you doing your midterm, by the way?
I'm doing well. I got one grade back and I got an A. So
you're getting it in?
All right. Getting it in.
A is not good enough. A plus.
Right, I've been getting A's across the board. Thank you very much.
A
plus.
4.1. I don't want to hear a 4.0. There should be no O's in this year.
No, all right, so
moving on.
Okay, so we're here, and like I said, we're talking today about the surge in violence, or the perceived surge in violence in the LGBT community, or against the LGBT community. And we have a very special panel of guests today. Our first guest and panelist is Lisa Velasquez, the founder and CEO of Wonder Woman, and that's Wonder Woman with a Y. Okay, she is a sex educator, motivational speaker, and youth advocate. So, un aplauso para ella. And then we have my man, Simply Rob, who's an activist, spoken word, mentor, youth advocate, founder of Grito de Poetas.
Ahua!
Ahua!
And a good friend. So he gets a...
It's funny, every time I hear someone do that, I was like, oh, they're around here. Like, Rito's around here somewhere.
There's some here. All right, we also have Monroe France, who's the director of LGBT student services at New York University, NYU. Thank you.
Welcome to you, sir. You can speak up, so you can just talk openly. It's all right. Everyone else does.
That's all right. So we want to welcome all of you. I thank you all for being here to talk about this important subject. And I know that you know how important it is because you're the ones out there on the front lines in this with this issue. So I guess let's start with you, Lisa. Ladies first.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be here. I'm just really happy to be, you know, part of this great group of people who are very progressive in the Latino community and the community as a whole. I feel like it's something that the new generation of youth is, they have so many people to look up to with this radio show and all the cultural events that you do with Sofrito for Your Soul and Radio Capicu. So I'm just really happy to be here. And yeah.
I'm not wrong, right? This is your second time on the show.
This is my first time on the show. This is probably the second time I was supposed to come. We had a lot of, you know, make things cross signals and a lot of stuff that I had to do and you had to do, but we finally got together here today.
Okay, well, I didn't mention it to bring up the past.
That's okay. Everything happens for a reason. I'm here today, and I'm honored to be here.
Thank you for being here. So, Rob, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Doing your thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Performing. All right.
Performing, writing, training for the marathon, which is in 2 weeks.
Nice.
I'm running on behalf of Harlem United AIDS Services Center, which does a lot of really amazing work in the Harlem and uptown community. So, yeah, I'm in it to win. That's definitely. And I really feel blessed and honored to be here. I feel like these are conversations. This in particular is a conversation, a discussion that needs to be had, and over and over and over again. And I feel it's something that keeps being brushed under the carpet, and you know, not really paid attention to. And you mentioned earlier that that it's a perceived rise in cases of homophobia and suicide, actually. But this has been going on as long as we've been alive, and it's about time that it got the attention that it needs to get, so we can maybe help turn the tide a little bit.
Yep. So I'm gonna start with you, Monroe.
Sure.
So there's a perceived surge in this type of situation. You work in higher ed. Mm-hmm. What has been your experience in dealing with these types of issues in your particular position at NYU?
Sure, thank you. So for me, you know, it certainly has been something that has been going on for some time. We know that, like, in terms of youth suicides, one of the ways in which that youth, one of the reasons why youth oftentimes commit suicide, one of the highest rates, is because of anti-LGBT bias and bullying. So the fact that it's starting to get attention is really important, but at the same time, though, we also know that this is an issue that's been going on for some time. So, you know, it's certainly not only impacting, like, you know, our youth in our K-12 school system, but clearly also our youth in colleges and universities as well. So it's something I'm completely, like, you know, passionate about. In addition to that, I'm specifically passionate about how it impacts Black and Latino boys, because I think that sort of the gender expression that they're supposed to sort of perform is, like, you know, far, far more interesting, I think, for me, in terms of how that impacts their sense of self-being, belonging within their communities, than, like, you know, than many other communities. And so this is certainly something I'm particularly passionate about.
Now, when you say that, you're speaking specifically about the machismo factor in our communities, right?
Absolutely, definitely. And so, like, you know, that, you know, boys are not supposed to cry, but I think it's even to a higher extent than other communities, because some other communities, there's a little bit more flexibility, but I think in Black and Latino communities, because there's been such an absence from sort of, like, you know, like, community where both men and women have been able to be together, I think that, like, you know, there's a higher expectation of how men are supposed to perform. And also, I think also the impact of sort of, like, you know, racism, that men, Black men and Latino men are supposed to be these sort of hyper-masculine figures, like, you know, that are supposed to be all about sort of performing sort of sexual desire. And so when it happens, I think then it impacts boys who step outside of that sort of expectation of what they're supposed to do in terms of performing their gender.
That's a really good point. Lisa, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, definitely to piggyback on what Monroe was saying, I completely agree with what you're saying. You know, working with Latino and African American youth for a few years now, I've noticed the one thing, it's just these set gender roles we have. It's so inside the box for the kids where, you know, the boys are supposed to express themselves in a virile way where they're showing their masculinity through, you know, about if they can get a girl pregnant or if, you know, how tough they can be and be promiscuous and, you know, show their masculinity, where the girls are taught to be, you know, extremely submissive. And if they're assertive and empowered and educated, you know, there's something wrong. And you get labeled within your own families and there's that pressure. there's that pressure to live up to certain family expectations. And sometimes the kids will act out. And it's so sad when you see young women who are, you know, trying to figure out their sexual orientation or discovering themselves, where they're engaging in heterosexual behavior to please their families and don't want to be this quote-unquote disowned or feel disowned or not loved. And the gentlemen are engaging in the same thing and, you know, having unprotected sex as well and getting girls pregnant. But when they're just trying to, you know, get that family acceptance, when they feel lost and there's not that acceptance within the family. And it's just, it's very difficult when you don't have that support at home, when your own family is going to reject you. What else can you do?
I think I just want to add that the LGBTIQ community, right? For those who don't know what the acronym stands for, lesbian, gay, bisexual, intersex, transgender, and questioning, which is a pretty large community. I think that people have a tendency to associate gay with young gay men, but there are women out there, there are transgender, there are intersex, which is the former term for that was hermaphrodite, which I don't believe that community really identifies with that label that has been given to them. They identify as intersexed because there's a beat in the background that's kind of distracting me. Because it's exactly that. It's an intersexed person. So there's a combination there of either male and female gender genitalia. And then, of course, the questioning community, that just because you've had an experience or because you've been curious doesn't make you gay or lesbian or anything thereof. And so I think the important thing, and why I mention that, is that there's phobia within the community. I think the most dangerous phobia is the internalized homophobia, because we are conditioned. I know that I, growing up as a gay boy, was conditioned to hate what that was and what gay represented before I even understood what gay was. And then I had this sort of Damien in the name of the movie?
The Omen.
There was this Damien Omen moment that I had, where Damien realizes that he's the Antichrist. And so I think every young gay person realizes, like, no, this is what I am. And you do everything in your power to bury it and hide it and run from it. And, you know, therefore, the way that it comes to light is that you bash yourself. You bash yourself, you down yourself. And so at this point, there's nothing that anyone can say to me that I haven't already said to myself at some point. So,
wow. Absolutely. That's very impactful.
Well, there was something that George mentioned earlier, too, talking about how, you know, people in urban communities, you know, black, Latinos, male, female, kind of have to thug it up to kind of play that whole double life, whereas, you know, they can be themselves when they're around the people that they feel comfortable with being themselves. And then playing that whole, like, you know, thugged out, like, yeah, I'm a G, whatever, I'm from the projects. But, you know, they kind of play a double life. How does that play into a person's, I don't want to say mental health, but how does that affect someone, I guess, growing up in urban communities, you know, trying to identify with one or the other?
I think that you can actually, it's okay to say it affects their mental health. That's exactly what it affects, because it's what Rob was just talking about, that inner conflict, that self-hatred, that confusion, that facade you're putting on is going to affect your mental health completely. And it's, you know, it's so difficult when you don't have anyone to talk to. You're afraid of telling your best friend because you're violating that relationship in your mind, because your best friend's going to think, oh my God, they would think I want to be with them. They may beat me up, you know. What are they going to do? How, you know, where's my support system? So you have so many fears. And you start to sink. You start sinking, and it's important to create support systems like Monroe was talking about, and, you know, some of the support systems that I'm aware of that I can definitely talk about when we go further, to create, bring about support systems, educate the parents, educate the families and the guardians, educate the school systems. I know it's very cliche, or we talk about it takes a village. It's going to take everybody to help these kids, and it takes everybody to help kids that are bullied in general, whether you're, you know, dealing with homosexuality or racism or whatever the case may be. It's going to take everyone, and I'm glad you did say mental health. So.
No, but you know what? And there's a really good point, because this is bigger than, obviously, the bullying thing. That, I mean, there's people of all different walks of life that are having the same issues with bullying. So it is a mental health issue. Now, one of the things that,
I wanted to actually piggyback off of what you said about the bullying, bringing it back to the situation that happened at Rutgers a couple of weeks ago. Prime example of cyberbullying and what the internet can do and how this young man took his life and all they're charging these two individuals with, and maybe this is just a personal point of view, is with invasion of privacy. You know, they had clearly had a hand in this young man's taking his life and jumping off the George Washington Bridge. And I'm getting a little red right now in the studio because it's a topic that just really I can't get my hands on it because it really touches me how amazing that this is the length that people go for, and they're trying to say it's a hate crime and but it's not, and you know, the battle back and forth. But does any, basically with the bullying aspect of it, like, does anyone have anything they can add to that, or especially for Monroe, because you're in higher ed, situations that you've seen similar, and how, you know, how to prevent things like that from happening?
Yeah. So one thing was that we definitely know that, you know, there's definitely been a spike in terms of cyberbullying, absolutely, particularly in K-12, but now we're also seeing it in higher education. What I do want to say, however, is that, you know, I have been sort of troubled with the scapegoating of those two young people. Now, they should not be held accountable, but I also believe that is sort of a reflection of our society. And so that, you know, not only I think if they would have used any other sort of mechanism that was sort of available to them, like at their hands. Certainly cyberbullying, the internet was one way they could do that. However, I think that we're such in a climate where we don't have a sense of our impact on people. Even our comedy, when we watch our television shows, it's all about making fun of people, belittling people, like making people feel bad about themselves. And so to where we don't have a sense of the impact we have when we sort of act out in certain ways. And so once again, I absolutely think those two young people need to be held accountable, but I also think that, you know, we cannot sort of separate that from all of our responsibility as a culture, as a society, in terms of how we've created this reality for people to think that it's just okay. Oh, it's funny, laugh, like, you know, it's not going to impact you personally. And so this is certainly one of those sort of, like, you know, sort of extreme examples of how this could impact someone. But even on a daily basis, you know, we often hear sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you, which I think is one of the hugest lies we all have ever been told in our lives, right? So in terms of, because we can all remember when we're at the dinner table, when we're in our communities, the names were used to put us down, how we were teased. I mean, I remember when someone pinched me, to bully me. But I can remember those names. And so thinking about how do we create these cultures, these societies in which that people think it's okay to do that, I think we need to really assess that.
I think the first step in that assessment is dispelling myths. Because I think one of the biggest things is that people have certain preconceived notions of what being gay or lesbian or any one of those labels pertains. For example, I know for a fact that, I know guys that think just because somebody's gay that they automatically want to sleep with every guy that they... That's one of the biggest myths, absolutely. I think.
Yeah.
You know,
you see that guy looking at me, man, I know I'm hot, you know, so...
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, so, I mean, but at the same time, that there is some truth to that. I mean, there's some guys that are very sexual, whether they're straight or gay. Yeah. So I know some straight men that will like to bone every woman that walks the earth. You know what I'm saying? All right. Yeah, everyone.
George, not this guy.
Right. you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, of course, you're going to have some gay men that are hypersexual as well, but don't judge everybody on that. You know, you'll have some gay men that are super feminine. You know what I'm saying? And if that's how they are, then that's fine. But that's not how I perceive myself or how people perceive me. So, don't just assume that a gay guy likes to wear thongs and wear feather boas and, you know, high heels, because that's not every gay dude. So don't generalize. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Now you work a lot with the youth, both you, Rob and Lisa, with the younger demographics. How bad is this whole, hood expression, no homo, like that expression? How often does that come up in your youth groups? And what kind of impact does that have on conversations in that dynamic?
Not too often. I don't let it happen. When it does come up, like, we squash it right there, and I break down why they're saying it. Like, why are you talking like that? Is there a problem? Are you uncomfortable with someone that's gay? No, but you know what? You need to tell me what the issue you're having is. You need to understand that someone else's sexual orientation does not diminish yours. It doesn't change your sexual orientation because you have a gay friend or you're standing next to a gay person. It's not going to change your masculinity, your femininity, whatever it is you feel. But if you're feeling something, you need to talk to me about what that is. Mm-hmm. And that's something we usually open the discussion about. Actually, a lot of my my clients via phone are gay men and bisexual men, older men, and none of them are the same. None of them whatsoever. From ethnicity, socioeconomic background, preferences, relationships, at all. They are very diverse people. They are working people, part of society who contribute. And it's something to understand that these people are human. They're part of the community and they want civil liberties, civil rights, just like all of us. You know, so we need to start understanding that we all want the same things and stop, you know, attacking each other and labeling each other.
See, I'm on the fence about that issue because I play with words. I'm a poet. And so you can use certain words to mean certain things that have nothing to do with the original meaning. And so although the term no homo makes my skin crawl sometimes I think when you get behind it, the way the kids mean it, they don't necessarily mean it how we're perceiving it. And it's ironic because today, the other thing that goes around other than just no homo is, oh, that's so gay.
That's so gay. Yeah.
That's the one I was thinking about. That's so gay.
I heard on my way over here, there were two young gay boys on the platform, on the train platform, and they were like, and it was, they were really gay. Like, I perceived it. And one of the, they were talking, I don't even know what they were talking about, but they're like, oh my God, that is so gay. And it's like, wow, do you even realize what you yourself are perpetuating? But at the same time, we need to realize that what it means to us is not necessarily what it means to them when they're talking to
us. So is this the N-word all over again?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because it seems like every epithet
or racial slur or anything that you put out there, now it's twisted and all of a sudden it has a new meaning and it's right. Okay. Somebody calls me a spig, they get punched.
So, just in closing about that, this thought is that, you know, at the end of the day, when somebody says no homo, if I say to you, if I say to you, it's really cold, can we wrap ourselves in, you and me, George, can we wrap this blanket over us because it's really cold? No homo, right? So that's basically me saying to you, what they mean by that is, okay, I'm doing this or I'm saying this to you, but it don't take this in a gay way. So instead of attacking the no homo, I guess I would have to go back and say, well, why do you feel that you have to say that? Mm-hmm. So if I'm saying wrap myself in a blanket with you so that we can stay warm, why do I feel the need to say to you this, but I'm not being gay about this. I'm not, you know, there's no implication to this. Like, why do I have to?
So is it almost like I need to say this just so I can say no homo?
Right.
It's an excuse to say it.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. I don't understand that. Yeah, so, I just
I wanted to add something to that as well. I mean, I certainly absolutely hear what you're saying in terms of the context of words and like words change over time. However, I think still though, language has an impact on how people feel in environments,
absolutely.
Right? And so particularly in our schools, and I do a lot of work in K-12 as well. I do a lot of training in New York public schools. And so one of the things that I certainly know is that when those words are used, is that students feel a sense of the climate is not a comfortable climate for them. Right, and so there's one thing that you might use in a block with your boys. Even that too, though, sometimes become troubling because maybe your boy is struggling with his sexuality, and so by you saying that, like he starts to withdraw and you know and sort of close down. So I absolutely think that we certainly have to take an assessment. And in terms of sort of the difference, I think we have to also understand the difference between sort of words like the N-word, then gay. Like there's nothing wrong with gay, right? Like being gay is happy, or being gay is your sexual orientation. However, the N-word, I don't know at any point in time where it had a positive meaning in terms of its sort of defined meaning in, like, you know, sort of Webster's dictionary, right? So when you look it up. And so that's just for me, right? And so
I do want to clarify. What I mean by that is just the way people use it.
Absolutely.
Know?
Totally. So I get you. Yes, absolutely. I totally get you. But, you know, but no, absolutely. But
I don't get you, George. Can you say that again?
So, you know, in a nutshell, I just think that we definitely need to look at the impact it's having people, how people feel been around. So if you're gay and you're using that so gay, it doesn't mean anything positive, right? So if you use my name all the time, that's so Monroe, how am I going to feel about the end of the day? Like, meaning gay usually means stupid, not cool, it's not in, whatever. When you say that's so gay, even though you're not meaning that's gay, right? Quote unquote.
That movie so, was so gay.
Right, exactly. Like it's not that it's cool, right? Not that it's hot. So how am I going to feel by the end of the day if I replace that word with my name? I'm not going to love my name by the end of the day. So I'm not going to love who I am. And so I think that we should definitely sort of do an analysis, a critical analysis about how these things might impact people.
Now, I know I brought up the mental health issue, but I was thinking about this earlier. Cause, you know, we were talking earlier at the office, and I was thinking, like, aside from all the, I guess, generalizing or just like, you know, the stigma that people kind of are put into when trying to identify themselves with sexuality, how much of a role does mental health play? Like, you know, Jomaida brought up Tyler Clementi from Rutgers, who took his life, you know, several weeks ago. How much of a role does mental health play? Like, what is it that's leading kids like Tyler, you know, kids across the country that are attempting to commit suicide, who are following through with it, actually killing themselves, what allows them to think that that's a way out, or that's even a viable option? And I mean, working in higher ed also, like, I've heard kids in the past, like, say, like, you know, if I don't get, I've heard a kid say this to his mom, if I don't get that, I'm going to kill myself. And I'm like, all right, well, what makes them believe that that's an actual option to even contemplate? Is there something that, are there signs that we should be looking out for? Are there things that we can do as a community to kind of identify these kids and say, hey, we need to get this person help. Like, you know, we need to reach out and see if we can help them out. I know a lot of it starts at the home. It should start in the home, but unfortunately, we mentioned earlier, like, a lot of the times people are pushed out of the homes because they're not accepted for who they are. Their parents don't give them the support. Their families just tell them, you know, you're gay, get the F out. You know, we don't want you. We can't have that. You know, what can we do to identify these things, and I guess also see if it's more than just a gender issue?
I think, actually, a lot of the time, you answered your own question almost.
I'm not the expert here, so that's why I want to hear it from you guys, my role in what I do is only been so much. Like, I don't know how the mind works and how, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm just saying that you definitely touched on why the option in their minds is to end their own lives or to have self-destructive behaviors. And, you know, it's because the people that brought them into this world are the ones that they feel are going to deny them that love and acceptance.
Absolutely.
So when those are the people you are contemplating telling, and they're the ones that may throw you out, and who else is going to love you? And this is the one issue that I always, you know, it's, to me, it's the most delicate when talking to a kid about coming out or what's going on with them, and even as even adults, because they have to think about, you have to think about what's the structure around them. I always say, you know, I'm happy that you shared this with me. You know, you're very brave for doing this, whether it's an adult or a teen. And who are you friends with right now? Who can you talk to about this besides me? Who is your holistic network? Because those are the people that you're going to need around you if you decide to tell, or when you decide to tell your family, depending on what's going to happen. It's like doing an intervention. You need those people around you to help you get through that. And that's usually why they opt for the suicide, or whatever the case may be. It's about protecting the kids and protecting the young adults as well when this happens. Like, if there's someone in higher ed you can speak to, it's almost like having a sponsor with you when you decide to talk to your family, because when you fall, depending on what happens, you need somebody there to catch you. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. It's about, what can we do to put these things in place? I mean, there may be policies and laws to protect, but where are the actual physical people that are going to take on the role to hold your hand through some of these things, most of these things?
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and those are all really great points. We're going to take a quick break right now, kind of regroup, and we're going to come back, and I know my man Simply Rob here is going to bless us with a piece that speaks to the theme tonight. The phone number here is
718-841-7855. We want to hear what you have to say, mi gente. I know you have an opinion. Call us up once again, 718-841-7855. Keep it locked. Don't go anywhere. Radio Capicu here on Urban Latino Radio.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh, my God.
Good luck keeping up with us. Amateurs.
Only on UrbanLatinoRadio.fm.
That's right, mi gente. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Radio Capicú here on Urban Latino Radio with your girl, La Sensación del Bloque, Jomaira, and...
The Urban Jibaru.
Y el Jodón. Ya está jodiendo tanto.
And if you're just tuning in, we are talking about the rise or possibly the perceived rise of violence against the LGBTQ community in New York and nationwide.
Actually, it's LGBTIQ.
No. Is it? Okay.
No. Oh!
I thought he had the I. Okay, anyway. Sorry.
You got schooled, son.
I apologize. I just learned that today. I didn't offend anybody, so, yes.
It's like an alphabet soup. As long as you get the letters in there, it's all gravy.
Doesn't matter the order? All right, good. I'm learning. That's good.
Let's see.
So we're here with Simply Rob, who is part of our panel this evening. Want to say hi to our listeners who are just tuning in?
What's up? What's good?
And Lisa Velasquez, who's also joining us this evening.
Hola, mi gente.
Lisa Velasquez with two Z's. Velasquez.
Right, con los Zetas.
And Monroe France is joining us from NYU.
Hey, what's up?
So now we're going on to our second segment.
Actually, you know what? I want to start to say the last segment was very interesting. Obviously, yes. We got a lot out. There was a lot of different themes talked about. We have Simply Rob in the building, and I think it's only right that we have him do a piece that actually will set up the second half of the show. So what's up, Rob?
And by piece, we mean poetry.
Well, I have two pieces. I think the one that I have in front of me right now, up front and center, really addresses what we were talking about in the last segment. And I wrote this in response to all of the teenage suicide that has been getting attention. I think people think that this is all of a sudden like a new phenomenon, but I don't think that people realize how many young people suffer in silence, knowing that they're different, before they're able to really grasp what it means to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or questioning, or intersexed. So this really spoke to that from my own experience, and really the title I have for it is Suicide. So it goes like this. At age 10, I thought swallowing pills like those people on TV would extinguish the anguish swelling in me. So I chucked a bunch of mommy's multivitamins only to disgorge all over what would have been the Last Supper. Either she never noticed all the half-digested pellets while cleaning up the mess after sending me to bed, or just pretended not to. My second attempt was about 2 years later, again mimicking made-for-TV drama to follow the turmoil of my onset to puberty. The plan was to cut my wrists with my uncle's machete, ironically hidden in the closet for protection. I sliced my finger on the sharpness of the blade. The sight of my own blood was enough to frighten me away from my intention, leaving me with a clean and perfect scar as a lifelong reminder that I didn't have the heart. You see, I wasn't always this example of God's gift to masculinity standing before you today. I can still recall the beatings from my mother or her brother whenever they detected mannerisms or gestures seemingly off, not macho enough for a boy my age. No hagas mates, mommy used to say. Actúa como un hombre, como tu tío, and the taunts of pato or culero from the older boys that lived in my building. I also remember the times weeping, emotions and self-esteem dangling like a willow tree in the bathroom, the only room in the crib that afforded me any privacy at all, in turn making the perfect scene for my attempts and where I made two more by the time I was 16. The shame became malignant. My 20s into my 30s were one perpetual self-medicated suicide attempt as I unraveled in my addiction to sex on crystal meth. You see, there are many ways to take your life all at once or one bag of tricks at a time. But I was one of the lucky ones. Despite myself, I managed to survive. I tell myself that God had another plan in keeping me alive. I believe I was made to suffer to emerge a messenger to those who would rather die, suffering in silence because they can't find the words.
Mm. Wow. I got no words.
Well, say something. Somebody say something.
Well, how about we hear? I really want to hear from what our listeners have to say and how they're feeling about this topic tonight. So I'm just going to give the number once again: 718-841-7855. Call us up here on Radio Capico.
Wow.
I think we're all speechless.
Yeah. And usually your poems do that to me.
Wow. Okay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good speechless.
Yeah, definitely.
In a place of reflection. Absolutely.
So, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Talking about the media and talking about how this is something that's been going on for a long time and now that it's getting all this attention, do you think that the media is giving it this attention because it's like the hot item to put out in the news right now? Or is it because, you know...
Elections.
There you go.
It's all elections. Right. It's all about elections. I mean, there's a dynamic in the politics right now. You got the Tea Party coming up with an ultra-conservative angle into politics, trying to undo what the current government's doing. You have that on one side. Then you have, obviously, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed, which, I mean, that's a great step. Right? Step
you know what? Direction. I'll take it. I don't care what the reason is, as long as people are talking about it. Because you still have people like 50 Cent, who is tweeting that if you're in your 20s and you're not eating pussy, then you should kill yourself. You know what I'm saying? And so you have all these people that look up to and respect him and that think, oh, okay, well, yeah, I guess, you know, this is what should be done. So and I think there's a history of, well, you know, I mean, what my mother told me when she found out that I was gay was she told me, You're not a man, you're half a man. You know, so there's this mentality that if you're a man and you don't have sex with women, or if you don't find women sexually, you know, attractive, then there's something less than about you. And so I think that in some cases it is an acceptable thought that if somebody is not straight, that, well, then what's the sense of them living?
Right. I'm telling you what I'm getting from this, you know, and obviously I have a lot of friends that are all different backgrounds and whatnot, so I'm no stranger to people who are gay or friends in that sense, but from what I'm getting from you and Rob talking about your experience, it seems like you're getting pounded at home, you walk out on the street, you get pounded on the way to school, you get pounded at school, you get pounded with the music that you're listening to, you get pounded with the images on TV. I mean, like, there's no escaping the kind of, you know, it's abuse from all angles. It's almost like society is just set out to punish every single person because of they're different, or not even different. Because I mean, if you probably look, there's probably just as many gay people as there are straight people. I mean, you know, you never know. It's just horrible. I mean,
yeah. So absolutely, I think definitely we have to look at sort of all the different forms of impact of how oppressed people are oppressed, right? And so, you know, gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender, you know, queer and questioning people, that most of us don't go home and have people in our homes that look like us. You know, so most of us don't have examples, whereas if you're Black and Latino, you know, in terms of your racial identity, if you're Asian, you know, you have someone in the home to say, we know that people are still bullied, still, like, you know, isolated, still, like you know, marginalized because of their racial and ethnic identities, because of their disabilities, etc. And so, specifically, like gay and lesbian, bisexual and transgender and queer questioning people, we don't have the place to go home and say, oh, it's okay to be this way, right? It's okay who to be who you are. And so not to have those examples in a home and not to have those examples in our textbooks, not to have those examples on television, particularly of Black and Latino people or people of color that are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender are questioning.
And leading healthy lifestyles.
Right, leading healthy lifestyles are not a brunt of a joke, right? You know, or the trans person is dead at the top of the, like, you know, the film. So I definitely think that, you know, sort of not having any sort of support mechanisms or examples of what you can project to the future for yourself makes it far more difficult, you know, in terms of who you are. And then we also know that, like, once you're bullied and teased in one way, you're teased in many other ways. And so most people who are bullied, not only are they teased because of their sexual orientation, they're oftentimes then teased because their appearance is not right, because they're Black or Latino, or because they're Asian, because they're not smart enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so So we definitely see those intersections and how people are impacted in a way that they experience that. And so not to be able to go home to have someone to talk to or to look at examples of yourself in terms of intersections within society is really hard, you know, and so it makes it even more challenging in terms of sort of reconciling who you are and finding support.
I have a comment coming in through text, and the comment is, my name is Jenny, and I'm dealing with my 13-year-old son who's questioning at this time. Are there any positive gay role models that you would recommend that, I guess, maybe books or anything, anybody in, out there that's really projecting positive images?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I absolutely think that, you know, if we look at different examples like GLAAD, which is the Gay and Lesbian Anti-Defamation League, which looks at sort of examples of how people are sort of depicted in media examples. And so they oftentimes will have people on their website who, you know, are out within sort of mainstream society. But in addition to that, certainly, I think, you know, just doing a Google, you will find
absolutely different people.
You know, who are out. More and more we're finding people are coming out, which is a great thing, right?
Any names in specific that you could throw out there that
I'm thinking Sir Ian McKellen, who is plays Magneto in the X-Men, and he's pretty big. Greg Louganis, who was the gold
swimmer, right?
Yeah, he's actually the diver. He's not only a gay role model, but he's open about his HIV AIDS status.
Exactly.
And
that was a big thing in the Olympics when he won the award.
I can't imagine the anguish that he was going through at the time, because he was not only in the closet about his HIV status, but he was also in the closet about being gay. And so when he hit his head on the board, he really thought that, oh my God, there was very little that we knew back in the 80s about this disease and about the syndrome. And so he was worried about the divers that were coming in after him. He was like, oh my God, am I going to infect somebody? And so I can't imagine the anguish he was going through while he was trying to compete. But
I was thinking about Ricky Martin coming out and being part of the Latino community. And he's a huge philanthropist, an amazing entertainer, a father twins, and I just think that he's an amazing role model. I mean, I remember watching him growing up and loving him no matter what anyway. So, but seeing that for a huge, for a community that, putting the whole thing about inside the box and gender roles and having the machismo, and then when Rob was, reciting his poem and talking about how his mother and his uncle were treating him, just thinking about that type of person coming out, Rob himself being a role model right now. He may not want to give himself props, but he is.
Absolutely.
So Monroe, and everyone here, who is, standing by these kids and thinking about I'm trying to get back my train of thought about resources. Planned Parenthood of New York City, her child's 13, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, they have programs where they train teens to be sex educators and educate other kids. And within that community, they're gay, straight, bi, lesbian, intersexual?
Intersex.
Right. I just wanted to get it right. In that community, and that's a community where they stick together and they learn about each other, and it's definitely, a group of acceptance. And at that age, getting involved at a young age can be an educator, can be an activist, will go on to higher ed, will aspire to people like Robin Monroe, and that's something to think about, looking into the programs they have available for kids in their community, and she could probably do that. And they also have a program called Adult Role Models for parents. Parents are trained by other parents, parents train other parents to be the speakers, how to talk to their kids about sex and every issue we're discussing right now. So not only she can get her child help and the kid can learn to be that role model, she can be a role model too.
I also want to commend Jenny for asking the question, because I can't imagine my mother ever having called to figure out how to support me or how to, to point me in the right direction as to who to look to. And so even though you are not, you're his mother, and I assume that you identify as heterosexual, you will always be his biggest role model. And so instead of looking outside of yourself and outside of the home, the best thing that you could do is love that child unconditionally and show him through your actions that he is exactly as God made him, perfectly imperfect, as we all are, and just show him all the love in the world, and he will be just fine.
Jenny's asking one more question. She's asking if there's any way that she can get a copy of that poem. Is there any place that where it's published or?
That is so fresh. The one that I just wrote. If she's connected to you, I can email it to her. It's a brand new piece. It's not even published or online anywhere. But yeah, I can definitely get it to her.
She thanks you. She said that was very interesting. She's sitting with him now.
Okay.
All right. Listening to the show.
That's great. All right.
And
then I will tell him that you are perfect exactly as you are. Mm-hmm. And love yourself. Love yourself and know that it does get better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think your mother said that you are questioning. And so ask those questions, and you're still on a journey of exploration, and you know, at the end of it, only you will know, only you can decide what it is that you are. And it might be straight, it might be gay, it might be somewhere in between, and whatever it is, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I'm getting a little emotional now. Like, when we do this show, we never know who's out there.
Right.
And to hear somebody that's directly connected, that's sitting there listening to it with their child.
That
means a lot. Like, if nobody else is listening in the whole wide world, it wouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
So I just want
to... I had a couple of things I wanted to bring up, actually, because Rob kind of said a phrase that reminded me of something I was having a conversation about earlier with Monroe. On YouTube, they have this It Gets Better campaign. And that's something I want to touch on also in this dialogue. But before I go there, I read something on a blog somewhere, and I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there's that... that one trans individual down in Colombia, Chelsea Sanchez, who's actually running for candidacy for the House of Representatives in her town in Colombia. She's the first person.
I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, she's the first person of, you know, who's, you know, trans that's actually run for any public office in the country. And I mean, I think I've never heard of anyone trans running in any country for that matter, let alone, you know, Colombia. Yeah, and you know, South America, they don't play around. You know, like this. They'll find you in a ditch, you know, before they let you run for president, you know.
Even though, let me point out that gay marriage is legal in Argentina, and it's also legal in Mexico City. So in that sense, they're a little more advanced than we are, mm-hmm. Right?
They're like 10 steps ahead of us right now.
which is actually ironic, you know, considering that we have this this perception that Latinos are so machista, and then that dominates the, you know, so I guess times are changing.
So getting back to the YouTube thing with It Gets Better, how do you guys feel about that? Do you think it's something that's beneficial to the community? Do you think that it speaks to everyone across the board? Does it kind of, you know, talk only of a certain or to a certain group? You know, like, what do you think are the pros and cons? Does it get better for everyone exactly? Like, you know, who does it get better for?
I think, like we said before, I think the one that's getting, the people that are getting the most attention right now for coming out with that campaign are Hillary Clinton and President Obama just came out with
that. Yeah, I saw that today.
And I'm pleased that, again, that the discussion is being had, but I also think you're right, George, about the fact that it's so politically driven.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And so if these candidates can now... To a large degree, be rest assured that the gay community is going to support them for having addressed this issue. But now, you know, don't ask, don't tell may fall by the wayside. You know what I'm saying? And gay marriage may fall by the wayside. Well, okay, so they're addressing this issue, so we can be satisfied with this, you know, with this little morsel they're giving us, despite the fact that we're starving for something real.
Because at the end of the day, they're going to take it on as like, okay, human life, you know, the suicides, the abuse, that's more important. We could wait on that. No?
Right.
We could,
that's more urgent.
Yeah, right. So I definitely agree with that 100%.
So I just want to add another analysis of that as well. I actually think the campaign, I have mixed feelings about the campaign. I think in one way it's great to have sort of celebrities and your president of the United States to say that it's okay to be who you are, to use the words lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender in terms of... like who he is as a president, when we had people like Ronald Reagan who would never even mention HIV, right, and AIDS. And so the impact that could have of you as a black young boy growing up and say, my president mentioned me in terms of a public address. But the other side of it, though, however, I also think that we have to look at sort of, it's not doing an analysis of homophobia and heterosexism. So it's saying to the young person, it gets better for you, But the sort of my sort of analysis is that like it can get better if we make a difference, right? And so how do we address homophobia? How do we address heterosexism in that, like, so those of us that have power, people who have power to be able to make that impact, and also people who are in positions of power who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, like, I also believe that come out, right? So that the young people have a projection into the future of what can be better, right? So it's one thing to say it gets better. What does that look like? It's kind of patronizing in a way. But on the other side of it, it's like, you know, sort of how do we make it better? You know, and yes. So thinking about that and what kind of steps can we take and strides to do that?
So, that I mean, that's a great segue because, I mean, there are probably a lot of people that are listening right now that are not part of that community, and they don't understand some of the things that they may do to actually hurt the community without realizing it. I know, for example, myself, and I'll be very honest, when I was coming up as a teenager, I grew up in East New York, Brooklyn. We used the F word all the time. You know, we used that word. And it wasn't to be malicious, it was just funny.
It was everyday.
It was just people, it was just words language. That we used. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't meant to be malicious. And I had a personal situation that made me rethink that. And it was somebody who I really cared about who was in a situation where they were very torn up emotionally because of how they thought I was going to perceive them if I found out. And the fact of knowing that person and loving that person as much as I did as a family member, I said to myself, wow, like, you really thought I would love you less? And it never dawned on me that, yeah, of course, he hears you use this word every single day. Of course he's going to think that. So that made me say, okay, well, whoa, you know. So at the age of 16, I'm stepping back and I'm saying that this is not me. You know, I care about him. You know, he's my family member. Nothing's going to ever change, and I supported him. And I'm glad to say today I think he lives a pretty healthy lifestyle. You know, I'm sure he's still dealing with a lot of stuff that the community deals with on a regular basis, but I'm happy to say that he's still with us, and, you know, he's a productive member of society. So,
you know, causing trouble like you?
Yeah, he's not trouble. He's not a troublemaker on the airwaves like I am. He's pretty quiet and to himself.
You just reminded me too. Like, I had a cousin growing up who we never saw because I guess she felt, you know, she'd kind of be blackballed by the family, and for a long time she wouldn't come around for the holidays. You know, none of us really understood why. I mean, everyone kind of knew, but no one really addressed it. And then one day my uncle told her, like, you know, what's wrong with you? Like, we're your family. Like, this is where you come when things are bad, when things are good. Like, this is home. You know, whatever happens outside there, this is where you come to when you need to come anywhere. So for a long time, you know, she would come with her partner's kids, and they spend the holidays with us. Now they've moved away, so we never see them. But, you know, that's a big thing, too. A lot of people, you know, I guess project what a lot of people in the LGBTIQ community, I guess, project also without knowing what family members or friends would think of them or how they'd be accepted or rejected. And they never really find out. A lot of them just kind of pull away and they just never really even notice or ever find out what their support networks could be like at home.
I think a lot of it has to do with exactly what George said. I think the language that we use on a regular basis, we don't even realize.
We're excluding them.
Exactly.
Emotionally excluding them from the equation.
And I also think that the whole concept of family to me is a very foreign thing because there's a contradiction. You know, it's one thing, what you say is one thing, what you do is another. You know, and I was told by my family all growing up that my family would always be there for me. And even after I was disowned, because my mother found out I was gay when I was 17, told my uncles, I had three uncles, two straight uncles and one gay uncle. And I don't know how they claimed they didn't know that he was gay because I knew something.
You're like, you knew it. So
right, I knew it, right. And so, and then when it did come out that he was gay, he was disowned. And then through, by way of their ignorance, they thought that he had made me gay. And so when it came out that I was gay, they did not want me to infect their kids with this homosexual thing, right? And so when I, after having been disowned, just by coincidence, even though I don't believe there are any coincidences, I was in Burbank Airport flying from LA to San Francisco, and I run into my uncle, who in one breath tells me that when I'm ready to come back to the family, that they will be there for me, that they're there for me, but first I needed to change. First I needed to leave the lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? So there was that contradiction. So, you know, I mean, show through your actions that you're willing to understand the young person that is in trouble, and that trouble may not be what you're defining it or perceiving it to be. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Okay.
We just had a moment of silence there. Sorry.
Yeah, we had a couple of those today.
No, you know something? Actually, another thing I wanted to touch on. Homosexuality, is it a choice? Is it something that's genetic? Like, that's... that. I mean, like, I know what I feel and what I believe and what my friends and family who've come out, you know, how they perceive it, but a lot of people think, like, oh, you choose to be gay. That, you know, you made that choice. It's like, you know...
Before anybody answers, I just want to say that the whole room tensed up. Everybody just was like...
Yeah, as soon as
I was like, huffing, puffing, everybody's like, you know... And understand this, you know, Jose's asking the question, and I commend you for being the brave person.
I know, I'm about to get the...
Facebook is about to blow up. He's about to get like a million... Men. No, but these are the questions a lot of people ask that they're afraid to ask, and they don't have anybody to ask. So we're asking the questions that you may be thinking, but don't have anybody to ask. So, I guess. Who wants to take that one? Monroe?
I'll start. You know, I don't know if my opinion is going to be popular opinion, but you know, I think sexuality is on a continuum, right? And some of us are more honest about that continuum, right? So some people, like, you know, have sexual encounters, do different things, like in terms of sexually, that they'll never talk to other people about in terms of their sexual behavior. Where some of us, they might define them as bisexual, some of us might define them as gay, or sort of just sort of experimenting. And so I think that, like, you know, in terms of sort of, like, whether it's, like, you know, by nature or whether it's, like, you know, sort of that something that, like, you know, you pick up over the way or you choose, at the end of the day, who cares, right? Like, you know, for me, who cares? It's about, like, sort of, like, someone having rights. What does it take away from you, right, in terms of, like, someone having rights? And I also believe that, which we've already seen, is that as soon as we start to try to use science to justify the existence of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people, what has happened is that when people have the gay gene, quote unquote, is what they call it, people are testing their babies in their womb to see whether or not they might have the gay gene to then decide whether or not they're going to abort that baby, right? And so for me, like, serious? So yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it's absolutely happening. So
I never heard that.
Yes,
wow,
definitely.
That's crazy.
So for me, like, this whole sort of scientific, using science to justify when science has also been used to sort of annihilate, like, you know, becomes sort of a challenging thing. But I also believe that for most of us, holistically, like, we can't control that, what our urges are. Like, if you're flipping through a magazine, you just simply know who you're attracted to and who you're going to turn it back, that page back, to say, damn, that's hot. So, like, you know, so I also believe that for most of us, like, it is something that just comes naturally. But some of us are more honest about what that looks like for us.
Well, I would say, who would make that choice? Who would wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to be gay? And, you know, I'm not directing that at you. I'm just saying it's preposterous. It's really preposterous to think that despite all of the, like, this rash of violence that we have in New York City is pretty much, it's a very liberal city. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for the most part, especially in certain areas, I know that if I am involved with somebody, I can walk down the street holding hands with them and not necessarily... Like 80%, I know I won't get a bullet in my head. You know, there's other places where that is definitely the case. You know, I can't imagine waking up one day and just making that choice. The choice is really in acceptance, either lack of acceptance or embracing who and what you are. You know, and so when you have these people that don't identify as gay or as what is known as, you know, being on the DL, or, you know, even people that don't identify as that, like, they go as far as getting married and having children and then, you know, finally coming to their senses in their 50s or their 60s, you know, to finally be true to themselves. And, you know, I guess better late than never, but I really feel for those people who decide at 60, like, okay, now I have grandkids, and you know what, let me really be true to me. And then the gay community, I don't know, we have our issues too. You know, if you don't look a certain way, you know, as far as body image and, like, what you project on a sexual or desirable level, then you're ostracized and outcast in the gay community too. It's not easy to fit in because I don't know, this might be politically incorrect, but it's my experience. I feel we're damaged. Like, we're people that have carried around self-loathing and shame and, you know, and have been programmed to hate what we are in a large degree. And that's something that's very difficult to overcome.
Wow.
So I have a question, and this is to anyone in the room. As a person who doesn't identify as LGBTQIQ.
But you're A. You're an ally.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Someone comes to me and tells me, hey, this is what I am. How do I react? And I think that's something that can come up often for a lot of people. And it's happened to me. You know, what do you do? What do you, you know? And I'm fully comfortable with having the conversation, but there might be people out there that don't. Mm-hmm. You know, that maybe have never faced that.
Yeah. How do you react when you care and you want to help,
right?
And don't know how to.
Right. So I mean, I would say the first thing you would say is thank you for sharing it with me, right? Because you know, chances are is that person has probably sort of role played that in their head how it's going to go down with you, like you know, had talked to another friend that maybe already knows, or talked to someone that's maybe like their therapist or someone else that's like you know, sort of someone that's a role model or mentor to them. And so just thank them for sharing that with you. I think that's the first step. And then in terms of sort of what do you need from me? Like, is there anything? Some people might just be like, I just decided to share this with you. I'm already out to many other people. It's just that I decided to share this with you today. And so, you know, some of the things that I would sort of say don't do is to say that, oh, I always knew it's not a big deal. Right? You know, because for that person, it could have been a big deal.
Right.
Right? And so they could have played that out in their head, even though you may have had a sense over time. You know, sort of let them have that moment, right? Don't take a moment away from them, because it can be a really impactful opportunity for them to sort of see what it feels like to tell someone and not to be sort of saying, oh, it's not a big deal, because it could be a big deal for them. Right. So I would just, that was the one thing I would not do, but I've had a lot of people, and I've done over time too, you know, sort of even being a part of the community, I have done it to people when they've come out to me and said, oh, I already knew, like about time you're telling me. And so now, luckily, I know better. I wouldn't do stuff like that now, doing the work that I do.
What about you, Lisa?
Definitely what Monroe said, the first thing is validation. Mm-hmm. I think when a kid or an adult, anyone comes to you with an issue that's very sensitive, you should always react with, you know, thanking them and, you know, thank you for sharing that with me and giving them some sort of validation and definitely making sure that you're there for them. You can just, you know, you can even express joy and like, wow, like, really? Like, how long have you known? Like, and most people, when you do say that, from my experiences, I've known for this time, oh my God, I even wanted to tell you. And like, it's just like this big, great discussion. And you letting them have the floor and definitely they have your ear and your support. And your friendship grows from that. You know, your relationship grows with the person from that. And just, I have a really close friend that's a lesbian woman. And she, I didn't know that when I first met her. And when she told me, I was just like, in my mind, I was like, okay, but why did you wait so long to tell me? Mm-hmm. Like, isn't this, like, I just felt like that was one more thing she needed to tell me because she's my friend. And, like, that was it. The friendship grew from there. We're even closer. And it's something that it's important to just know that the person is still that person that's your friend. They're not different.
Right.
There's, you know, yeah, they have different sexual desires or interests or romantic partners, but... Well, that happens when you're any type of sexual orientation. You do eventually break up with people and change partners. What's the difference? So I think about it that way. Just keep the friendship rolling and be open to them sharing things with you. You should feel honored. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's actually sharing those things
with
you.
That's a lot of trust. It's a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of trust, I think there's a certain amount of honesty, right? That maybe if you know somebody for a long while and they're struggling with their sexuality issues, you may feel that the trust has been violated because what they're presenting now is very different to what they have presented in the past. But understand that the lies weren't, you know, they weren't necessarily lying to you. They were lying to themselves for a long time about who and what they were. And so when somebody makes that connection and when they finally accept, you know, people don't understand, like, the process for some, and it's different for everyone. Like, some people have a much easier coming out process. And, you know, depending on what kind of support they got in the home and what kind of resolve that person has, you know, but for others, it's a lot more difficult. And I think I need to speak to the transgender experience for a second, because, you know, the transgender experience is very different than the gay experience, gay or lesbian experience. You know, and I can't, it's so foreign from what I went through, because even though I knew I was different, I always knew I was a boy. I always knew I was a man, but I can't imagine what it's like to feel that I am one gender trapped in another gender's body, and knowing that even as young as maybe 2 or 3 or 4, that family members know that something is like quote unquote wrong or off, you know. And so I think to, and even within the LGBT community, I think that there are roles that are acceptable for a transgender. One is being on a stage and just being flamboyant, being a show person. And then the other is being on the streets prostituting yourself, because that's really, you know, you're either objectified or sexualized, but there's nothing in between that is acceptable. And so, you know, I feel like in this LGBTIQ community, oftentimes it's the transgender person that gets the raw end of the stick. For lack of a better term.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because I also, yeah, absolutely get that, and I absolutely agree with that, because even within the lesbian and gay community, right, trans people are oftentimes sort of not included, right, in terms of, oh, wait your turn, like, you know, first let us get our rights. But the reality is that oftentimes the ways in which that lesbian and gay people are discriminated against is not fitting into sort of gender performance, right? And so your gender expression doesn't match what men are supposed to be or what women are supposed to be. And so in that way, I think that the way discrimination sort of manifests and impacts people, like in the way it impacts the trans community, very much impacts like lesbian and gay people in the same way, because like when we don't perform in a job place, or if you're too flamboyant as a gay man, or you too much like a sissy, or you're too butch for as a like lesbian, like that makes people feel uncomfortable, right? And so you can't pass, quote unquote. And so, for same thing for trans people, if you can't pass at that gender that you're like, you know, that you're transitioning into, then people feel uncomfortable, or you're sort of like, you know, you're not fitting into a box. And so I definitely think that, you know, understanding the parallels, but also understanding sort of the differences is really key. And so that's where we have to absolutely, when we're talking about particular parts of the community, just as bi people, bisexual people, you know, oftentimes lesbian and gay people also say, choose. You're an offense, like, you know, you're being greedy. You know, I have friends that say that. Right? So I had a friend that just said that to me the other day. And I said, you know, ouch. Like, you know, I don't want to hear that anymore. You know, I just don't want
to
hear that.
Personally,
you know,
so. I wish it, to see if I had a choice to make, I would now that I'm this, you know, really well adapted, together gay person. I really wish that was more my experience. Like, I wish I could have the best of both worlds in that sense. No, for real, you know, because, you know, sometimes I really feel...
Well, since it's a continuum, can't you adapt?
I don't know. It's an evolution, I guess. I don't know. I haven't
gotten... I was saying, we all fall in different places in the continuum.
The continuum. I've done the continuums before, so... All right. Well, listen, this has been an amazing conversation. Yeah.
I feel that 2 hours isn't enough for this.
It's not, and I think that I think the real piece that we need to be talking about moving forward, one, positive role models, absolutely. More talking more about mentorship programs that are available, not just for people who are LGBTIQ XYZ, but
yeah, the acronym just keeps growing.
It's grown since the beginning of the show. But but for people in general that just need to a way to express who they are, because it could be creative, you know, creatively, it could be in many different ways.
And also, you know, also to reach out to those, you know, the straight community that want to be allies too.
Right.
Like a lot of times, you know, talking about outreach for people who can't identify or don't know whether they're gay or straight or don't know where to go. There's also people out there who are straight that want to be allies and kind of figure out ways to help those in the community.
I think that's one of the biggest blessings. I mean, even discussing with some of my friends about the show, how many people that are straight that were actually really supportive of us having the topic, either because then someone they know or love, you know, has been through a process of coming out or hiding, you know, still their sexuality. So I think that you have a lot of allies out there in general.
Absolutely.
That are able to help these young people, and they just need to know where they are.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So what I'd like to do is go around the room and kind of get the last word from you guys, and also any resources or any events that you have going on that actually are relevant to the topic.
Shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs are allowed too, absolutely.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Jomaida's being quiet again, and it's driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah, Jomaida.
And this time she's not texting on a sidekick, which I can't make fun about today.
Yeah, well, you know what? La sensación del bloque está un poco sosa.
No, I mean, here's the thing. I am an ally, And I want to be more of an ally, you know. So a lot of the questions that I did ask and that were asked this evening were stuff that I would ask myself, not just for the listeners. I had a situation that occurred recently to me where someone who I was with in a relationship for a very long time came out, which is a whole other show and a whole other thing.
It's a whole other topic.
So it was a whole mix of emotions, but at the end of the day, I still care for that person, you know, and I care about what they're going through. And I got a little emotional during the show. I had to step out because, you know, it hurt me that he cared more about what I would think of him rather than I'm thinking, what are you going through right now? You know, I put my feelings to the side and I'm like, wow, how can I help you?
Right.
You know, so.
I just had to pick on you for being quiet. You know?
That's fine. Okay. That's fine.
I was going to make a stupid joke about you being an ally because you said you wanted to be more of an ally.
I was waiting for
so
it.
So I was going to say, you know, just have sex with your nearest lesbian.
Wow.
Just give one out. Just
my
to
mom
support.
Is listening. Oh, sorry.
You know what? I'm glad you're doing that because this show's been really serious and we've learned so much in the show. We used to laughing on the show on a regular basis, but... You know what?
So, George, me and you after the show.
I noticed that George has been looking at me, Rob. I didn't want to say nothing, but
that's all right. You know what? If you see me looking at Rob, it's out of admiration because I met this brother 4 years ago. Actually, no more. Before Capicu.
I was twisted.
I interviewed you. I interviewed you guys. I interviewed you guys at Grito when you guys first founded on the kitchen table. Mm-hmm. And even then, the group itself, this dynamic and very motivational and very inspirational in the community, and you know, I thank you for being here. You know, you taught me a lot.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the show is that, you know, we're not afraid to take on a challenge of learning something on the air.
That's what's up.
Like, we're not coming here saying that we're authorities on anything. We're not coming here with, like, reading stuff off of... we have our laptops here, but we have our laptops for references and for resources that we're going to be able to give out. Not to come here and say that we know what we know and we're authorities. So you're teaching us, like, we're sitting here, we're the first students, we're in the first row of your classroom right now.
Oh, man.
All right? Well, we brought the apples.
I know that...
I brought the chocolates.
You do what you do with integrity, and when I got the email, it took me a minute, because I didn't get the email right away, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, I'm all in. You asked me to do it, and I was here, so...
Yes. So plugs. Let's get the plugs in.
Well, I mentioned that I was running the New York City Marathon in benefit of Harlem United Aid Services.
How can we support you?
So I am actually doing an event with the Babylonians.
Nice.
Which is a new crew. That
Babs in the Bronx.
Yeah, most definitely. So Babel in the Bronx. They're having an event. We're having an event this Thursday, the 28th, at Mi Gente Cafe, which is at 1306 Unionport Road. If you take the 6 train to Castle Hill, and it's kind of a Halloween TV character costume party. So, you know, if you want to come dressed up, you can, and you will have a reduced admission for $7. If you come with a costume, $10 without. But most people are actually dressing up as TV characters, so you'll see, I think, I Love Lucy. You'll see Lucy there. You'll see Ralph Cramden. You'll see... Jim Dangle. I will be coming as Jim Dangle.
No, I know Blaze the Page is probably going to be Ralph Cramden. He fits that role.
Yo, Blaze, if you're listening, I hate you, just so you know.
Word. And they're also doing a canned food drive, so give it up to the Babylonians, overdose of the Babylonians. I just have to give him a shout out, because he's doing a canned food drive so that he can take some canned foods to some local soup kitchens and stuff. So, that's what it is.
How can people get in touch with you for bookings, for advocacy, talks? And
RobVSimply@yesaol.com. RobVSimply@aol.com.
You got mail.
Yo, they're still around?
Yeah, believe it or not. Or you can call me or text me direct at 347-614-9370. 347-614-9370.
And for those of you that have ICQ in MySpace, you can hit him up there, I guess, as well. He seems to be stuck in the 90s.
All that stuff. You
got one. Mi gente.com. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Mi Gente. Lisa.
Hey.
Just wanted to let you know that I have a lot of resources on my website for parents, families, educators, and for kids regarding anything you need help with LGBTIQ community. Hope I got that right. The Gay Straight Alliance, No Name Calling Week, Gay Lesbian Straight Education, Adult Role Models, Respect for All, which is a campaign from the New York City Board of Education. You can go to my website, wonderwoman.com, Wonder Woman with a Y.
Spell it out.
WONDERWOMYN.com. On the resources page, you can also follow me on Twitter at Wonder Woman LLC, and you can like me on Facebook at Wonder Woman LLC. And just for updates, you know, you'll get updates from me regarding for women, sex dating and relationships. I put my column on there. I do an identity magazine. If you want to submit a question for free, submit the question to info@wonderwoman.com. Having upcoming newsletter and a lot of things I'm putting together for youth and women and a lot of empowerment stuff. So subscribe for free for updates. So, and one more thing, finish up. I'm actually teaching a career enhancement class. I am a professional facilitator. I do professional development and I am an entrepreneur. So I actually put this curriculum together during the recession to help people out. It's, you know, through BMCC Continuing Education. That's Borough Manhattan Community College. And basically it's for people who are either employed, unemployed, freelancers, or entrepreneurs looking to take the next steps in their career. It's goal setting, getting you past your blocks, step-by-step strategies. Okay, step-by-step strategies and actual real-life scenarios to help you work through your issues of, you know, living your best life and getting on your life path, dealing with your family, dealing with your job, your colleagues. It's stuff you come out with that's really going to help you in your real life and just, you know, in your career.
I might have to go check that out.
That's why she's here. Monroe.
Sure, absolutely. So one plug I want to make is actually a program that I'm moderating where Sophie Robb is going to be on the panel as well. It's called Not in My Backyard, Heterosexism, Homophobia in Our Communities, which is going to be at Pace University this coming Thursday from 10 to 2 p.m. And it's going to be in their multi-purpose room, which is at 1 Pace Plaza. And so we're going to be talking about these issues within the LGBT, like Black and Latino communities, and what does it look like? And so it's going to be sort of this fusion of arts and music and also spoken word and also sort of this typical sort of talking sort of academic heads. And so I'm going to be moderating that panel and just sort of what does that look like in our communities? Is it safer, less safe? Like, you know, who can be out, who can't be out? And so we'll talk about that. And in terms of sort of like reaching me, I also, in addition to working at NYU, I have my own training and education business. It's called EnvisionSocialChange.org. It's our website is Envision. It's the name of the organization, but EnvisionSocialChange.org.
That's awesome.
There you go. Damn, I learned something new. I didn't even know you were doing that.
Yes.
And I've worked right next door to you.
What are you
there
doing
you go.
All day?
So do you have any quick shout-outs?
Quick shout-out to all our listeners. Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I got so wrapped up in the dialogue tonight that I didn't even think of who I'd shout out. Big shout out to you for being the jefe. How about that one?
Ooh, thanks for the charge.
No one ever shouts you out, bro.
No one.
Yeah, see,
actually,
I'm shouting you out.
They shouted me out Wednesday.
All right. Yo, actually, you know something? What about the show on Monday we were talking about earlier? Michaela?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. If you want to continue this conversation, one of our shows here on Urban Latino TV...
Urban Latino Radio. Yeah, because our viewers are watching us right now.
That's my thing. You're taking my thing away.
No, he took it away.
I took it away. Yeah. Michaela TV is actually going to... Michaela TV is the name of the radio show.
Yep.
Michaela Radio's TV show / TV show is going to actually be discussing the same topic. I believe she's on at 6 p.m. on Monday. But you might want to go to Michaela TV... That's michaelatv.com. And check her website out. And they're going to be having a similar discussion on Monday. And, you know, obviously Urban Latino and most of the talent here is very, we're allies as well. So, you know, I hope that you'll tune in and support her on her endeavors. Anything else?
Big shout out to... Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I think we're all tired.
This I know. Like... No, but you know something? This show gave me energy because I came in here low on energy. I was talking to Lisa before and I was just like, oh, I'm so tired. And like I got in here and once we started speaking, I felt like a whole surge. So I feel
absolutely
great about tonight, you know?
Jemida.
I just want to thank our guests for coming in.
Yes.
Speaking, being advocates and just, you know, empowering our young people and just people in general. I want to thank my friends that have supported me in not only being an ally, but in educating me on the issues that I was completely blinded and continue to learn about. And just thank you to all the listeners for who text, who calls, who supported the show, and who continue to show us love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about you?
We have a couple of things. On Wednesday, obviously, we're going to be at Museo del Barrio for Comité Noviembre. I know, Lisa, you're going to be there, right?
That's
you're
going
right.
to be there, Rob? I'm going
to
be there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just me, so, text me the info. Yeah.
Do I have to wear a suit?
I guess you know. I know I do. But
well, get it together because I'm going to be looking fly.
Ay, Dios mío.
She's like, okay. Photo ops. So we'll be at the Museo del Barrio for Lo Mejor de Nuestra Comunidad. And again, I want to thank Comité Noviembre for honoring me with that award. It means a lot to me.
Well deserved.
A little you. Applause, man. Aplauso.
I also, this Saturday, we're going to be in Rockville Center at Panera Bread. Not eating lunch. We're going to be there.
I don't know about you. I'll be eating lunch, though.
We're going to be there for the Long Island Tweet Up. We're going to be trying to raise 500 pounds of food for Long Island Harvest, which is it's like City Harvest, that actually feeds a lot of the people who are underserved and underserved communities in Long Island. A lot of people think that Long Island, everybody's like rich. White chicken. Yeah, exactly. It's very far from the truth. There's a lot of people hit hard by the recession. And some of the people with the biggest, most beautiful houses are the ones going hungry, believe it or not.
Not only that, there's some areas that are super hood.
Long Island's no joke.
Yeah.
Shout out to my people in Long Island, especially Freeport.
Nassau County.
But we're going to be in Rockville Center with Panera Bread from 12 to 4 with Long Island Tweet Ups. You could just come down there. There's going to be several different locations. The one I'm going to be at is Rockville Center, so that's the cool spot, so you got to come and check me out there. bring your canned foods and whatnot, your donations. We're trying to raise 500 pounds. We will have a follow-up event to this where it's called If You Feed Me, I'll Feed You. And that particular event, anybody who makes a donation will get a raffle ticket, and the winning raffle ticket will get me at their house cooking for them and teaching them how to make a traditional Latino meal.
Wow.
So that's going to be the next step. So it's called If You Feed Me, I'll Feed You.
That's a real sofrito for your soul right there.
No homo.
Plus.
No homo.
only on this show can we do that. Again, I want to thank the guests for being here.
You guys are amazing.
Just so you're aware, this show will be podcast. Again, our podcast address is radiocapicu.podomatic.com. We only have one show on there, but the easiest way, if you're an Apple user, iTunes. We're on iTunes. As of today, we're on iTunes. There are two different Capicu listings, just so you're aware. There's the old shows from Blog Talk Radio, and there's the new shows. And obviously, the new show, we only have one up there. There'll be another one up there tomorrow, and hopefully this show will be there in like 3 or 4 days. All right?
I also wanted to mention, you know, guys, if you have any questions, ideas for future shows, anything, call up the hotline, the Radio Capicu hotline, area code 951-254-2276. That's 951-254-2276.
What does that spell?
25 Gibbero. Nah, that's 95125 Hibaro.
No, it's 95125
Hibaro. Oh, I'm sorry. I added an extra number there. Whatever. All right.
No, definitely. We definitely need your feedback. This show, like we said before, this is your show. Yeah. We do appreciate you. We hope you listen next Friday. Next Friday, we're gonna be bugging out.
Yes,
we're gonna have a good old time. All topics will be announced on our Facebook page as usual.
That's it.
We'll see you next Friday.
That's right, Mihenge.
We'll see you. Yeah, we'll see you. All right.
Play some music, man.
Copy!
Melissa Sweets y yo soy Varas Brunet. Están escuchando aquí a UrbanLatinoRadio.com.
Esta noche.